Hey, I'm Kiefer, backstage at Bonnaroo, and Milo has joined us. Welcome. Good to see you again.
Hello. Good to see you.
You know, a lot of artists call themselves do-it-yourself artists, and, you know, it may be kind of half true. You actually were in all the way, releasing your own music, booking your own shows, doing everything yourself. Any advice for somebody who might be listening now that's thinking about that you can tell them, like, hey, here's how to do it?
Well, any advice, I would say don't give up. I mean, if you're really into music, there's no one better than you who can, you know, convince other people to work with you and, you know, to be convinced that your music is worth being listened to by a lot of people. And I have to be honest, though, like, it wasn't my preferred scenario necessarily. When I started doing a lot of things myself back in 2005, I was actually really, until the very last minute, I was under the impression, and I was definitely hoping that I would have been like swooped away, like signed by a big label, and that people would tell me, you just play music and we'll take care of everything else. But that obviously didn't happen for me. I was from a very small town in a very small country, so Belgium, and so that made it even harder to, you know, to be noticed. But I just kept going, and along the way I actually learned a lot of things about, you know, how the music business works, and things that maybe otherwise I would have never heard about. So, and what is actually greater about this, because I got started around 2004, 2005, but when I actually found my audience back in 2007, back in Europe, by then I'd actually, you know, I had taken my time to slowly get better at what I was doing, you know, as a singer. I think I'd improved as a singer, as a live performer, as a songwriter. So I'm, even though if we would have talked back then, I would have really cursed my situation, and because I was getting a little bit impatient at some point. But then again, now I realize that this was the best possible scenario for me, at least for me. I know some people, you know, just get their first shot at 18 and they do great, which is fantastic, of course. But in my case, I really could use those years. And I think one of the reasons that I am where I am today is because of how it happened. So
rappers borrowing from rock and roll is nothing new, whether it's, you know, lyrics or samples or a guitar riff. You turn that equation around, and a lot of people's first introduction to you was your cover of IO Technology. Mm-hmm. What did you hear in the original version of that song that you could kind of turn it on its head and make it what you did?
That's a good question. I don't know if I really remember it, because I think I literally just heard the song once, the original AO Technology. And I think I hadn't even, when the first time I heard it was actually when I saw the video, which is like a huge multi-million dollar video with Timbaland and Justin Timberlake, who are also featuring on that track. I think it's like 5 minutes at least, that song. So I heard a lot of noise, and I heard a lot of static and a lot of information, but I also heard like there was a really great melody at the core, and actually a really great line, "I'm tired of using technology." And I think that's just sort of started me going. And I just thought, I have this, you know, view of, you know, the way that I look at music is I don't really hear like styles or genres anymore. Like, I just hear songs and performers. And I think literally like every song, maybe it was, I remember it well, like when Travis covered Baby One More Time by Britney Spears and made it, you know, such a great song. I realized, you know, at the core of every good song in every style that you can think of, there's supposed to be a really good song that should stand on its own just with a voice and an acoustic guitar. And that's how I looked at it. And it was a little bit of a challenge for me to try and get that out of there, like the AO Technology, because it was really hidden. So, but I came up with a new melody in like a matter of minutes for the verses, because I don't know how to rap at all. And I just thought, you know, that it would be funny. It allowed me to show, you know, my audience too, that, you know, I wasn't taking myself too seriously all the time, because that's something, you know, singer-songwriters are often like misperceived a little bit as, you know, seriously like party poopers and just even like cheer up, you know. But I shouldn't, because the way that I talk about it now, I mean, it was never my master plan with that song. I was having fun. It appeared on YouTube, it got a lot of views, and I kept going along with it for a while, and that's what happened. But you know, this was one of those unexpected things that happened. But the great thing is, because I was working, you know, DIY, because I was my own manager and my own record label, I could just follow my instinct and do what I wanted to do, because people around me were saying like, don't do this. But I said, I wasn't listening to anyone. I was just doing what I wanted to do. And I was having fun because I recorded that cover, you know, in between albums. So it was just like, oh, let's have some fun. And then it opened so many doors for my music. And yeah.
Kanye West loved it. And I really thought you brought out kind of the loneliness and the desperation mm-hmm. of the song that, you know, probably wasn't there in the very beginning. Your first instrument was an accordion. Why'd you give up such a sexy instrument like that?
Well, it's I remember when I was 10, I started studying music. And when it was time to pick, you know, first it's like music theory and everything. And when it was time to pick an instrument, I just, I noticed that most people were choosing either the piano or the guitar. And because of that, it didn't really appeal to me at first. So I don't know, at some point, yeah, an accordion. I don't know what I was thinking, but I did it for a few years. It actually gave me a pretty good musical hearing because, you know, like if you played a violin or guitar, those instruments are not in tune automatically, you know? So, which makes sure that some people don't even know that, you know, that's why people don't like to listen to young kids playing the violin. I mean, or adults. Because it's out of tune all the time. But anyways, I did it for a few years. And then, of course, when I was 15 and, you know, when I was listening to Nirvana and I remember Bleach and In Utero and Nevermind, of course, I wanted to play those songs. So that didn't work on my accordion. So I switched to guitar and piano and never went back. But yeah.
Yeah, Weird Al was in here and he said, you know, you can be a one-man band with an accordion. You know,
that's what he said.
The perfect instrument.
Yeah, I wouldn't go as far to say that. But I just think, you know, that's... I would recommend, because you asked me about advice for musicians, I would recommend everyone to start, you know, start at the beginning and just like learn how to, you know, how music theory, how, you know, how it works. And then, you know, just learn how to play a few instruments and then start writing songs, because you have to know like pop rock music in general. It's really easy. That, I mean, a few chords, that's not rocket science, you know, so you can always take it down a notch like later, but at first go for some skills, you know. I think it wouldn't hurt anyone. And some of the most successful bands also this weekend, they got their, you know, basics before they were rock stars by just studying music. So
we're talking album art this year at Bonnaroo. Your album North and South, tell us what the cover is and the kind of work that went into it and what it says about the music on the CD.
Well, album artwork has always been very important to me. I've released 3 albums, and every time I try to really pay a lot of attention to the album artwork. And my latest album that came out a few years ago, North and South, had actually the most ambitious artwork project so far. What we conceived, me and the guy that I've been working with for 8 years now, maybe, we thought about like basically, it was like this size, sort of as like a billboard, but we just wanted to have Milo North and South, but we wanted to build this miniature scale model that we would later photograph from upside down. So, but basically my guy Serge, he spent 235 hours, and I know this because he kept track of it. It's a good thing he didn't get paid per hour, so that was nice. But he spent all this time to developing this super nice scale model. There's a video on YouTube that explains a little bit more, which we later photographed, and with, you know, tiny miniature lighting, we try to get some like shade going, and just is really nice. And especially in the vinyl edition of that album, you really see how it goes, because actually the bigger it is, the more you blow it up, the closer you get to the original. And I'm really happy about that artwork, because you see right away, at first you get like, it stands out even, you know, in a small version, like how it is, like on iTunes and Spotify, you only see the small version. But then when you have a closer look, you see there's all this work put in there. You can keep looking at it for a long time. And it was a little bit, because the album before that, I had made scale models for every song. That was another project. Like, let's start with one image and let's just make a scale model and then we photograph it. But what I just really like about the guy that I'm working with is that he spends most of his time, like 80-90%, not on the computer when he's working on the... So when we look for fonts, like he tries stuff, then he makes it wet, he dries it on the radiator, like on the heating. And he just like, yeah, we just use all these analog materials, and only at the very last minute, he, you know, imports everything into Photoshop or whatever software he uses. And then he finishes it off. And I really like that. That's something I hope to be, you know, to keep working with him for a very long time.
We're also asking people to pick out their favorite Beatles record just based on the cover art. So we've got them up there on the wall. Which one, Milo, you know, are your eyes drawn to?
Well, I don't know. You're not going to like what I'm going to say, but I'm artwork, I'm very particular and very specific. So I actually don't really like any of those artworks that much. But I know it was different time, you know, like it was like a few albums a year. And it's just, I don't think there was a lot of time spent in most of these. You know, the one, my favorite, maybe this one, you know.
The Beatles for Sale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then again, it's sort of like a contradiction because I usually hate photography on album artwork. I think it's so incredibly lazy. Like one picture and then just like, you know, the title on top of it. I think my problem with pictures is that once you're exposed to it too many times, you're sick of it. It just has no meaning at all anymore. So that's why. But most of the Beatles, you know, it's based on photography. So obviously that's very iconic. But I'm not too crazy about any of
it. Okay, you know, that's fine. That is a first this weekend. So, yeah. Milo.
Their music is great, obviously.
There you go.
But who says like, wow, horrible band, but great album artwork. That's, you know, that's a challenge we face every day. Like you can make a great video or beautiful artwork, but if the music isn't very special, then no one will even, you know, hear about it or see it, of course.
Milo, thank you very much for stopping by this morning.
Thank you for your time.
And we are live backstage at Bonnaroo.